Well, happy Easter, everyone. Welcome to Eastlake Church. My name is James. Thank you for sharing Easter with us. I want to welcome everybody online, Facebook, out on the patios, in our West Auditorium. Apparently, this flight was overbooked. And rather than give you a voucher to come back to the next service, we just thought we'd set up extra chairs. So wherever you are, thank you for sharing Easter with us. Now, I know on a day like this, we all come to Easter from different places, different backgrounds, different perspectives, and with different pictures in our mind of what Easter is. Maybe for some of you, Easter represents getting together with the family. When you think of Easter, you think of gathering together and sharing a meal. For others of you, maybe this represents the one day out of the year that all men can courageously wear pastels, right? And still keep their man card. Or maybe it's all about the Easter bunny, or in your mind as a kid, it was the Easter egg hunts, or it's all about consuming large amounts of candy that's only available this time of year, like Cadbury eggs. How many of you enjoy those? Raise your hands everywhere. You disgust me, okay? Those are terrible. I don't know why you would like those. But regardless of what you think of when it comes to Easter, here's my goal today. Let me just put it right out. My goal is to simply share what Easter is really all about and why Easter is a really big deal for everyone. And so to do that, today we're going to kick off what is a five-week message series. We're going to be talking about Jesus is. And every week, we're going to fill in this blank with something that Jesus did or something, some aspect of who Jesus is. And we're going to talk about how does that make a difference for me today. I want to invite you to take some notes, grab that outline out of your program. Or if you're on the app, click over there on message notes. And I bet you can fill in this week's blank without me even telling you because it is Easter. And here's what it is. This week, we're talking about the reality that Jesus is risen. Jesus is risen. You see, Easter is not a celebration of Jesus' life. Easter is not a celebration of Jesus' teachings. Easter is a celebration of a very specific event in human history that changed everything for everyone. And I want to give you what this event is all about in one sentence. This is kind of our sermon in a sentence, and it has two big ideas that we're going to unpack today. And so if you're taking notes, here's what it is. Easter is the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus, which gives us freedom. That's what Easter is all about. Easter is the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus, which gives us freedom. You see, 2,000 years ago, a little over, Jesus was in fact crucified and died a criminal's death on a Roman cross. And he died and he was buried. And then 3 days later, he was resurrected back to life. That is what today is about. And if when you hear that, you have doubts because it sounds like a fairy tale, or you just go, man, I have a difficult time believing that. If you have a difficult time believing that or you have doubts, you should, because it's normal for dead people to stay dead, right? No matter how many zombie movies you've watched, this does not happen. Dead people don't come back to life. Like, this is not a normal occurrence, which is why when you read the scripture accounts, the eyewitnesses, the people that within one generation of this happening wrote down and said, here's what I saw. Here's what other people told me they saw when it came to a resurrected Christ. What you don't read on that very first Easter Sunday is that all of the Jesus people were gathered around the tomb with fireworks in hand, counting down for Jesus to exit the tomb. 10, 9, 8, 7. Like, nobody was doing that. Nobody was standing outside the tomb singing the Hallelujah chorus, waiting for Jesus to come out in all his glory. Instead, what you read is that the handful of Jesus followers that were left were confused and scared and hiding out from the Roman government because they thought that what happened to Jesus would happen to them, that they would die a criminal's torturous death on a cross. And so they're hiding out. But then something happened on that first Easter. And not even Jesus' closest followers expected it. The tomb was empty and Jesus was alive. And it is the resurrection that makes Christianity unique among all the world religions. because Friday, the movement of Jesus died with Jesus. On Saturday, there was virtually nothing left to the way of Jesus. A handful of scared, confused followers hiding out in a home. But then on Sunday, an event happened that changed everything for them and caused the Jesus movement to explode throughout Jerusalem, and the Jewish leaders nor the Roman government could contain it. And that was this single event, the resurrected Christ. You see, Christianity is the only faith movement that didn't gradually develop and take hold over time. One day it was dead, it didn't exist. And the next day it did, because of a single moment that we're celebrating today, the resurrection of Jesus. And as you read the story of Scripture, what you see is that over the next 40 days, Jesus showed himself to more than 500 of his followers at different times, in different ways, had conversations, some touched him, where the nails had pierced. And so Christianity exploded as a result of this throughout the Roman Empire, and the people who saw it were willing to die rather than say that they didn't see a resurrected Christ. You see, the resurrection of Jesus, it is the hinge of history. For the Jesus follower, it is the fulcrum of our faith. Without the resurrection, Christianity is nothing. That's why the Apostle Paul wrote these words within one generation, within the generation of people who had seen. Here's what the Apostle Paul wrote, 1 Corinthians 15. He said, "And if Christ has not been raised, then all of our preaching is useless, and your faith is useless as well." In other words, like, without the resurrection, Christianity is broke. It's worthless. It's some nice ideas. It's maybe some philosophies to live by. But it has no eternal significance without the resurrection. And so here's the thing. My point today is not to, you know, convince you. We're not going to go through a list of, let me give you all of the arguments for why you should believe in a resurrected Christ. Like, I'm not going to go through the archaeological evidence and the historical evidence and the biblical evidence and the eyewitness accounts. We're not going to do that. But if you have questions about that, as I have before, I would encourage you to do some homework and settle that for yourself. Nobody makes anybody believe anything around here, but we just invite you. This is a church, if you're new around here, that you can show up to with your doubts and your questions. This is a church where it's okay to belong before you believe. And I'd encourage you to answer some of those questions. Everybody grab that outline, turn it over to the back. I recommended some great books that if you're going, you know what, why would people believe this stuff? That's a question I asked a long time ago. And I said, is there actual evidence that this is a real thing? Or are 2 billion people who are celebrating Easter around the world today, like, do they just believe in a fairy tale? And so there's some great books there if you want to read, if you're interested for settling that yourself. Let's go back to our sermon in a sentence for a moment. So here's what we're talking about. Easter is the celebration of a specific event, the resurrection of Jesus. And we're going to spend our rest of our time talking about this last statement, which gives us freedom. You see, freedom, it is one of the most pervasive themes in the entire story of Scripture. What you see over and over again, if you would read this book, is that there's incredible stories of God delivering people. God delivering people out of slavery. God delivering people from injustice. God delivering people out of poverty. God delivering people from their past. Delivering them from oppression. And so this is a huge theme in Scripture. And ultimately, God is delivering us from spiritual darkness. And Jesus promised freedom to all who believe in him. Look at these words of Jesus in John chapter 8. This would be a great verse for us all to read out loud together. Can we do that? Everybody, all patios, parent viewing rooms in here, West Auditorium, online, let's all read this together in our Easter voices. Okay, ready, begin. "So if the Son sets you free, you are truly free." Amen. That was Jesus speaking about himself. He said, hey, if you are set free by me, if you want to know what real freedom is, put your trust, put your faith in me. You see, the worst condition in the human experience is bondage. It's to be in bondage to rage, to anger, to be in bondage to fear, to be in bondage to an addiction, to be in bondage to, you know, having to live for the approval of people rather than being who God created you to be. And the ultimate oppression, it is bondage to being separated from God. And the resurrection of Jesus is all about our freedom, our spiritual freedom. You and I are hardwired for freedom. One of my favorite movies that centers around this idea of freedom, come on guys, you know what it is. Braveheart, right? That is an epic movie. If you've never seen Braveheart, you should gather the preschool age children, get some tissues. It is a family tearjerker, okay? It's just, I mean, your four-year-olds will love it. But in Braveheart, I mean, it centers around this idea of freedom. I mean, William Wallace, what he does is he puts together a Scottish army of common citizens to stand up against the English oppressors on their land. I mean, they are fighting for freedom. That's what they're fighting for. And for way more than just the ability to wear, you know, kilts without underpants. Like, they wanted real freedom, okay? That's what they're fighting for. And freedom is something that resonates with the human soul. Why? Because we were created by God for it. That's why, think of your favorite movies. Think of your favorite stories, your favorite books. I will guarantee you that there is an element at the core of the story that you like, the movie you like, of freedom. Where somebody had something and lost it, and the whole movie or the whole novel centers around them getting it back. Or they never had it, but intrinsically they know they deserve it. And so they're going after it. They're fighting for their freedom or somebody else's freedom from something. And the reason that stories and movies like that resonate with us is because it's how God made us. We are hardwired by God for freedom. And true freedom is found in Jesus. I want to share with you a story from a couple of the members of our church who in their life, they are experiencing a new freedom as they have put their faith in Jesus. Watch their story.
Our home was supposed to be, it's supposed to be a safe place for your family. And times where we would be arguing, my anger, my temper would get to the point where I would say some really nasty things in front of my kids to my wife.
I brought a whole load of insecurities into my marriage. I brought in anger. That anger would escalate. I brought in jealousy. I brought in distrust.
And because of my temper, because of my anger, I actually spoke of divorce 3 times. I invited that into our marriage and into my wife's heart.
It wasn't safe for Phil when he'd come home from work. It wasn't safe for me. We were in a dark place.
You know, if I wasn't busting holes in the walls, she was busting holes in the walls.
We had no self-control.
You know, in the middle of all this chaos that was going on within our marriage, our godparents actually told us about CR. I was desperate for our marriage to work, and so we decided, hey, you know, we got nothing to lose. Part of the process of Celebrate Recovery, they have a Christ-centered 12-step program, which is called Step Studies. It's a beautiful grind. It's one of those things where it's a 9 to 12 month process to deal with the real issues that you're dealing with. And through that, you take a look at yourself, you really take a look what's causing these issues, and you work through them.
When you're in the midst of marital distress, you tend to feel like you're by yourself and no one will relate to you. No one understands what you're going through. And when I went to Celebrate Recovery, there was a bunch of people who knew exactly how I felt. And it was comforting and it was reassuring.
Through that community, we felt, you know, Christ just working right there in the midst of that.
We were starting to laugh more. And so that, for me, is how I felt like our marriage was getting better. We can do things together as a family.
man, can you believe it? We're doing a devotion together without us arguing over it and bickering over it. Mm-hmm. And now it's one of those things that we actually cherish. You know, it's a continued process. It's a thing where we have to constantly be involved in church, whether we're coming to service or listening online. It's just staying connected with community. I think that's where Jesus is found. Part of the freedom and the liberty in that is, you know, we don't have to try to fix each other. It's a thing where we just continue to surrender to Christ. And the only way we were able to do that is to unearth these things, those dark sides, and bring it to the light.
Yeah. We are still definitely having to be intentional about our actions, be intentional about our tone, be intentional about coming to church and staying plugged in and being in community and being involved. We love each other, but we just didn't know how.
We can sense, see, and feel God working in our midst. We found freedom with putting Jesus first in our marriage.
I love Phil and Kat's story of Jesus' transformation and freedom that they've found as they have put their faith in Him. You see, God's great desire is to restore all of us back to a place of freedom. Yet one of the great ironies of this life is that freedom is the thing we think we're going to lose out on if we follow Jesus. This is one of the great deceptions and lies of the enemy of our soul. That we believe that somehow if we follow Jesus, He's going to make us give up all the things that we really enjoy. That we're going to have to, you know, change the way we dress and definitely stop listening to that music and for sure not drink anything again stronger than Hawaiian Punch. Like, these are the Jesus rules and you better line up with them. But the truth is that, you know what, believing in and following Jesus isn't so much about giving up our freedom. Yes, there's an element of surrender to this, but it's so much more about gaining back the freedom that we originally had as human beings. That's the gift of Easter. That's the gift of the cross, the gift of the resurrection, is that God wants to put us back into right relationship with Him and living in the freedom that is found and available in Jesus Christ. I want to quickly share something with you that I think will help you understand this idea of freedom that we call the freedom cycle. And it's the idea that what Jesus did through the cross and the resurrection allows every single one of us to make this one big turn and end up back on top where God originally created us to be, living in freedom. That's what Jesus gave His life for. That's what the resurrection is all about. And the reason I want to give you this picture is because I think it will give you, honestly, a backstory. Because if you're new to church, or maybe you've been around church a little bit, but you're kind of like, why is Easter such a big deal? Why do people make it such a big deal about this? It's because when you know the backstory of something, it makes the events or the story that you're going to see make sense. And think of this like the backstory. Actually, think of it like, what do they do at the beginning of every Star Wars movie, right? How many of you are Star Wars fans? Star Wars fans, hold them up. You should volunteer on the tech team. That's where they all go, okay? They're all running the show here. But if you're a Star Wars fan, you know what happens at the beginning of every Star Wars movie. Something called the opening crawl, right? What do? All of a sudden, the screen is black. You're staring into space. The picture begins. It's amazing, right? And then the very first thing that comes on the screen at every Star Wars movie in this blue text is what? a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. It's setting the stage. It's going to let you know who the characters are and why this person is good and this person is bad and what it is they're fighting for. And the opening crawl begins to roll up the screen and it sets the stage for you. That way everything you're going to see begins to make sense. Let's stop right there because some of you were like, Easter's about Star Wars. I knew it. I knew it. George Lucas was behind this. No. Easter's about Jesus. Come back. I want you to know the backstory of Easter. I want to set the stage for you because if you really know why Jesus had to go to the cross and what the resurrection produces, I think you'll appreciate it more. And so here's the backstory. The backstory is this. At the beginning of our story, in the story of our world, we had perfect freedom. We had it. Go ahead and write that in your notes. Everything was perfect. Everything was right. When you read the first book of this collection of 66 books known as the Bible, it's called Genesis. It means the beginning. And it tells the story of the beginning of the world and the beginning of us. And that at the beginning, everything was as God created it to be. Everything, like God created the world, it was beautiful, and like he didn't micromanage, and he said, humanity, go and enjoy, build, create, have amazing relationships, like everything is here, it's great. And so everything was as God originally wanted it to be, and everything and everyone lived in perfect harmony and relationship. Humanity, creation, and God. But then there's the fall. We lost it. We had it, but we lost it. And we lost it real quick. Genesis chapter 3 is where the fall happens. We didn't have it too long. You see, Genesis 3 chronicles the fact that all of creation fell from a state of perfection and completion into sin. We had it, and then we lost it. Think of it like the San Diego football Chargers. But it's worse than you think. Here's what it would be like. It would be like that you're a San Diego football Charger fan and then your team moves to Los Angeles, but no, it gets worse. And then sin enters your heart and you become a Raider fan. That's how bad it is. It's that bad. This is what happens in Genesis 3. Sin entered the world and it entered the heart of humanity through our first ancestors, Adam and Eve. And I know it's easy to rail on them, right? Like, man, why do I get stuck with this? Because of what they did. And before you rail on them, let me ask you, do you think you would have done any better? Because have you ever even been able to go a day without a selfish thought, without a sinful act? Because I have not. And so our first ancestors bring this on us. They fell and we fall and we fall and we fall and we fall. I mean, you don't even have to be a Jesus follower to know that our world is not the way it should be. I mean, we see the effects of evil and of sin and of selfishness around our world every single day. But God was not distant or powerless to our decisions. In fact, the entire story of Scripture chronicles God going after us, making a way for us to gain the freedom back that he originally gave us. And that leads us to this next thing, which is faith. It's how we get it back. How do we get back what we lost? It is through faith. You see, some people think that faith and religion are the same thing. They are not. Religion is all about my efforts to get to God, to become good enough for God, to follow the path, to do enough right things, to change myself to enough to get approval. Religion is all about that. And what religion does, it tries to build a staircase to heaven that I have to get up in my own efforts. But what religion always does is build a wall between me and God. Faith is totally different. Faith, it's not about my efforts. It's actually about trust. And faith isn't a staircase and it doesn't build a wall. Faith is a bridge and it's called grace. And we simply exercise faith to walk across that bridge. Faith is all about what Jesus has done. You see, it's embedded in every human heart to ask the big questions of life, right? I mean, at some point, all of us, and probably multiple points, have asked questions like, man, what is the purpose of life? Is there a God? Why am I here? Especially if you live in El Centro, you ask that one regularly, right? Like, we all ask these kind of questions. And here's what religion does. Religion tries to fill in the gap between what is and what we hope for. That's what religion does. But it fills in the gap with a staircase that ultimately becomes a wall. But faith doesn't do that. You see, faith isn't about what I do. It's about what Jesus has already done. And what Christ has done through his death on the cross, taking your sin and mine and the sin of the world upon himself and laying down his life, it has created a bridge that everyone, it's a bridge called grace that everybody is welcome to walk across by simply saying, Jesus, I choose to put my faith in you. I'm gonna trust you that it's not about what I do or getting good enough or being good enough, but it is about you and what you've already done for me. And when we come to that moment and we choose to have faith and step across that bridge called grace, we're back to where God wants us to be. And we're back on top with the cycle of freedom. But there's one more thing that happens, and this isn't about getting us to freedom. This is actually about a result of freedom and being connected to God, and that is this, fruits. And write this down. It's what we do now. In other words, this isn't about us doing enough. This is about that when God is in our life, naturally, he's going to change us and work in us and help us be the person that he created us to be. That's what you heard in Phil and Kat's story, that all of a sudden there were these good outcomes or results or fruits, which, by the way, every time the Bible uses the word fruit, when it's not talking about like an apple, it always means it's a metaphor for outcomes or results. Let me give you an example. Finish this sentence for me. If the fruit of keeping your word in a relationship is that it builds trust, right? That's the result or outcome. If you keep your word in a relationship, that builds trust. Here's another one, just to make sure you're getting it. The fruit of diet and exercise is health. Some of you are like, I don't do either one of those things. Why would I know the answer? Health is the answer. All right, just one more to make sure you get it. The fruit of burritos and Doritos is this before you right now. That's the result or outcome. You can decide whether it's one that you want or not, okay? You do you, I'll do me. Stick with it. Yeah, and so here's the point. When we have faith in Jesus, when we put our hope and our trust in him and what he did, these outcomes begin to happen in our life. You can put the fear to rest that God's gonna try to change every single thing about you. He's gonna try to change the wrong and the bad things about you, absolutely. But God's not trying to change your personality. He's not gonna try to change your career. Here's what God wants to do. He just wants to make you you-ier. That's a made-up word. If you're like, is that a word? No, it's not. What I mean is he wants to work in your life to help you be the best you that he created you to be in the first place. And that's what this cycle of freedom is all about. That through Jesus and his death on a cross and his resurrection from the grave, we can all make this one big turn and be back on top, reconnected back to God through what Jesus has done for us. I'm gonna invite the band to come back out. We're gonna share a song with you. This song is called Grace to Grace. And it talks about this bridge that God laid down for us to walk across through faith. And it does a great job summarizing everything that we're celebrating today. And here's what I want to invite you to do. Whether you're on the patio or West Auditorium or here in the East Auditorium, I want to invite you to stay seated in this moment. And I want you to listen to these words. And I want you to reflect on this question. Are you living in the freedom that Christ purchased for you? I mean, as you look at your life right now, would you say that you've taken hold of the freedom that Jesus purchased for you through the cross and his resurrection? Or is there an area of your life that you're living in bondage or you're living in darkness? And if there is, I want to invite you to open your heart to Christ today and experience the freedom that Easter is all about. And so maybe during this song, in your own way, that maybe you haven't been to church before, you haven't been in years, I want to invite you to say yes to Jesus. That simply means having faith. And around here we call faith, it's that want to inside. If you have a want to right now, that's what faith is. It's the want to believe. It's the want to begin to follow. And if you have that during this song in your head, in your heart, just say, Jesus, man, I want to live in the freedom that you promise those who believe in you. And then I'm going to come back and close this out after this song. Let me pray for us. God, I thank you that in our selfishness, in our sin, in our separation from you, you are not distant, you are not far away, but you are loving. And you sent Jesus to take our sin upon himself so that we could be reconnected back to you. And God, I pray for anybody here today that feels like, God, they have that want to in their heart. They would, God, help us cross that bridge called grace through faith and step into the freedom that you gave your life for. Jesus, we celebrate you. We open our lives to your good work in us in this moment right now. Amen.
Precious is my Savior's blood. The beauty of heaven wrapped in my shame. The image of love upon death's frame. If having my heart was worth the pain, joy could you see beyond the grave? If love found my soul worth dying for, how wonderful, how glorious, my Savior's scars, victorious. My chains are gone. My debt is paid. From death to life, and grace to that tore through me like a rose, the promise that rolled back in its stone. If freedom is worth the life you raise, oh, where is my sin? Where is to grace. I see that cross, I see freedom. When I see that grave, I see Jesus. And from death to life, I will sing your praise in the wonder of your grace. When I see that cross, I see freedom. When I see that grave, I see Jesus. And from death to life,